Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to my show. This is Jeff Brown. My show is Sustainable You, How to Self-Educate, Self-Sustain, and Become Aware and Accountable for 2012 and Beyond. And basically, the main focus or brunt of the show here is to get you prepared and up to speed as to what your needs are, skills, knowledge, and attitudinal, if there's such a word, attitudinal needs, for 2012 and on. Education right now, we're having a tough time with education, came through college, and that is something that has been happening for some time, but because of the recent economic downturn, usually when things go sour, pointing begins and a closer look is taking at sources of errors or problems, and education has been one that has begun, people have begun to really look at it, but there's always been problems as far as I'm concerned. It's just that they're now being seen for what they are because of the fact that it's not sustaining, I guess we could say. It's not sustaining people. Education isn't working for various reasons. It's complicated, but mostly because times have changed. And on today's show, we have Clark Schaefer, Hollywood special effects master. He's created special effects for 33 feature films, including Iron Man, Batman, Star Trek, Star Wars, Die Hard, Mortal Kombat, and many more. And I realize that somebody who knows these films better than me mentioned that I spelled combat wrong. It should be with a K. So a little bit of a correction there. And today also Clark is going to be giving away the faceplate of the mask from Iron Man 2 that he helped design, work on. And it's the Mark II is the official name of the suit, the Iron Man 2 suit. It's the silver one, and he's going to be giving away the faceplate later on in the call to the first caller that comes in. But a little more background on the show and exactly what we're doing. Today we're going to focus on not only Clark and what he does and some things that he's projects that he's involved in, but also we're going to talk about creativity and how that ties into what's going on today in regards to education, in regards to careers. At this time, about one half of all money made in the United States comes from the creative sector. Scientific innovation is up there, but also other areas of employment are really focusing on creativity, problem solving. Not like in the past, we have fewer jobs that are labor oriented. There's as far as farming jobs or mechanical jobs are concerned, manufacturing jobs. We used to have about maybe 35-40% of all jobs were in those areas. Now we're down to 10-15%, and more we're needing people who are good problem solvers, good thinkers, critical thinkers, analytical thinkers, complex reasoners. And Clark's going to talk about that in regards to what he does in regards to creativity. And creativity is huge because at the foundation of problem solving is creativity. In order to get from problem to solution, we have to create some type of bridge to get there. So creativity is big. And as far as education is concerned, it's becoming more and more of an issue because education doesn't focus on creativity, especially at the high school, elementary level. It's government mandated education, one size fits all type of education. Science and math is good, it's important, but only about 15% of the population at any given time is science or math material. People who are going to be able to excel at science or math in whatever field of interest they may be pursuing, but most people are not going to be using math beyond basic arithmetic, and that's a problem. So we want to look at people nowadays and really see them as individuals, see them for what they need individually as well as what they need in today's modern workforce. And one of the things that they do need, and many employers are complaining that they don't have these skills, even though colleges now we're talking switching to college, but high school should be much more involved in this as well. Colleges don't prepare students for good communication. They don't prepare them with good communication skills, complex reasoning skills, critical thinking skills, even though many curriculums and many schools mention that in their programs. This is what students will get over a period of 4 years. They'll learn how to communicate well, verbally, written, and they'll be able to think critically, do some good complex reasoning, technical and non-technical complex reasoning, critical thinking, but most are not graduating with the skills and knowledge that are needed by most employers. So what are employers doing? They're actually going to overseas sources. They're looking at the graduates from overseas who are more motivated, more interested, whatever the reason may be. Or they're going to graduate students. Today's BA is now the master's, and the new master's is the PhD. So we've got all these problems going on. But I want to talk to Clark about that, and we'll talk about creativity and how important creativity is, not only in obvious creative fields such as, you know, what Clark is involved in. He's an artist. He draws, he sculpts, he paints, he builds, he designs. So, and he's been doing this for some time. He actually did the cover for my science fiction fantasy book, Black Body Radiation, and I want to thank him for that. And let's bring on Clark now. Clark, are you there?
I am, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, Clark. How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
So you're able to listen this time and speak as well.
Yes, technology can be a good thing.
Technology when it's working. Yeah, last time, listeners on the show now weren't on last time, Clark was in the queue waiting to come on, and Michelle was going to bring him on, but I guess the system didn't recognize him or pick him up, so we're doing the show again, having a second shot at it. So, Clark, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself? What do you do? What are you working on? What personal projects you got going and otherwise?
You bet. Well, as you mentioned, I'm an artist, pardon me, initially. Something I'd been passionate about and just very drawn to since I was a small child. And even at a young age, I was drawn specifically to use my artwork for filmmaking. You know, when I was 5 or 6, I thought maybe I'd be an animator for Disney. By the time I was 10, Star Wars came out and just changed the world, and mine included, and started focusing on using my artwork to, you know, create fantasy characters or spaceships or things like that, which I did all through high school. I experimented. I would make latex masks and glue, rubber noses on my buddies, and, you know, we'd make horror films and sci-fi films and stuff in the neighborhood. But I did all that with the idea that one day I wanted to become a professional visual effects artist. And about the time I was 21, 22, I had established a strong enough portfolio, and traveled down to Los Angeles, where I interviewed with a handful of the bigger effects companies at the time. This would have been about 1990, and got a very, very strong reception. They said, you know, if you lived here, you'd be working here, and that's all I needed to hear for that. And I shortly, you know, packed up my affairs at home and went down to Los Angeles, where after a short window, almost a little struggle, felt like, to get in. It took me a whole 4 or 5 months to find my first actual job. But after surviving that and getting that first job, I quickly established myself and built a reputation that allowed me to, you know, live this dream I had since I was a child, and not only, you know, have the what I think one of the coolest jobs in the world, working with so many creative people on so many different projects, but also, able to make a living at it and pursue, you know, all these different artistic desires that I have. So besides doing visual effects, and my background as a visual effects artist is as a what's now called a traditional visual effects artist, where I physically build models, I create prosthetic characters and puppets, I hand paint matte paintings. It's all how they used to do it, and we still do. I mean, a lot of films you see still have a lot of model work and miniature work, but for me, that's my passion, and that's what's really drives me. Since being established as an effects artist, I've also become a director and a producer, and currently I have my own studio, Schaefer Studios, where I still create visual effects and act as a production designer, but also we're starting to produce our own feature films. So it's evolved into that, and it's been a great fun ride, but certainly, creative opportunities left and right.
Yeah, and I've been over when you were living in California, been over your house and looked at many of the things that you've created and designed, and I've always been fascinated by the miniatures, you know, the stuff that they use in Hollywood, the miniatures that they build, and the looks. Some of them kind of, if the production's not that good, it's pretty obvious they're miniatures, but when the production's good, it's just wow.
Well, yeah, and that's I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I'm just saying, and that's where you're right. I mean, as a kid, I grew up just loving the old Godzillas and stuff like that, but their model work is pretty obvious, but there are ways to do it right, and that's one thing I've kind of prided myself on, is to create undetectable visual effects.
Yeah, and I remember you were working on, Red Planet, and you were drawing the landscape, and I remember you were in Van Nuys, and I came down, and you were rolling that boulder down, yeah, down the, whatever you built there, the miniature landscape, you know. And
yes,
it's amazing how they can take something that small and make it look, you know, huge and, real, I guess we could say.
Yeah, that's part of the fascinating aspect of it to me, too. I think that's something that that attracted me as a youngster too, was the idea that you could build something out of paper mache or plastic, or just common items you might have around the house, and it's a really neat piece of artwork or a model like that that might even sit in a museum and draw a crowd that way. But for the 3 or 4 seconds it's on film, it's kind of broken the barrier of being a art piece to becoming something real, something, are we on Mars? Is it a spaceship? Is it a living, breathing creature? And, just as an artist, it's kind of fun. Film is that special magic wand that you can wave at your art piece to make it breathe life, you know? And so that's, I think, part of the appeal of using film to take, give my artwork what it could not otherwise have.
Yeah, and if anybody's interested, Clark has a webpage. It's called Schaefer-studios.blogspot.com. Once again, that's Schaefer, S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R, -studios.blogspot.com. And I want to talk briefly about the creativity aspect of the call, but do you have any projects going on now that you want to talk about?
Yeah, there's always, it's funny, in this business, you're juggling so many different things, potential projects in the future, you're working on current projects and celebrating the ones you've done, but currently, I'm working actually on an independent project here where my studio is in Salt Lake City, and we're creating props and stuff for that, and it's funny, a lot of these things are kind of sensitive issues. While you're making the show, you're not at liberty to say too much about it, because,
right,
they don't want to give away too much, but there's a fun project like that going through the shop right now. You speak about my involvement with Iron Man 2. There's actually a private collector that has contacted me. And I guess he collects, quite a few actual movie memorabilia or replicas, but he's really excited about getting an Iron Man in his display room, and he's contacted me about what would it take for me to recreate what I created for the film originally. And we're talking about that right now. I think that's going to be something I'll be doing this summer for him. And then also, as a producer, director, I am working with a New York Times bestseller published author who's got a fantastic book series that We are talking to investors currently about bringing that right here to my studio and turning that into a wonderful franchise of feature films that would be for the mainstream market. And anyway, that's a very involved project, taking a lot of my energy and a lot of my time right now, but for good reasons. It's certainly something I want to do. It would be high profile to take my business to the next step and my career to the next step, but also to just be that next exciting, fun project to add to my list of current accomplishments.
Yeah, you're talking about some investor with tens of millions of dollars for upcoming project and all that. That stuff is so cool.
Well, it is.
Go ahead.
No, I said it is cool, but that's funny. The game on that part is I'm an artist at heart, and that means crazy willy-nilly sometimes. The way the art brain works, as far as how you go about getting things done and making things, and being locked like a hermit in a studio creating all these pieces of artwork, which is so satisfying to me as an artist. But to become a producer, to become more than that, you do have to kind of adapt and bring in hone different skills than maybe you originally have to. Go out and talk to these investors and entice them to come on board too, because it's kind of this funny mix. The artist always needs the backing. Without that, they can't accomplish a whole lot. So there's this really interesting relationship that comes there. That you gotta put on your different hats and play the different parts at the different times.
Yeah, there's got some. We're gonna get to some callers in a few minutes, but. I wanted to talk about the creativity aspect of the call. One of the things that I've noticed, currently half of all the money that the United States makes, it's like $7.1 billion, comes from the creative sector, and a lot of that is scientific creation. But still, it seems like nowadays more and more jobs and careers are becoming much and much more interesting. We talked about the farming jobs. There's not as many farming jobs or mechanical jobs, manufacturing jobs out there as there used to be. And there's more and more jobs like mine and like yours where people are becoming entrepreneurs. Like one out of four people are entrepreneurs, and this is a entrepreneur society. You look at the founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson,
sure.
Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was a huge entrepreneur, building his printing press businesses and franchising them out. By the time he was 40, he was able to go and be independent, become a statesman, and continue to work on his science and innovations
right.
and invention. And I think now it's just a really cool time to be working. I think there's more opportunity now to get out there, be an entrepreneur. And there's a book that I just read. It's called Common Sense Economics. And these are a bunch of guys, PhDs at universities. And one of the things they focused on is, hey, one of the things this country needs is innovative people. Get out there and put out a great service and or product. And it's not only good for the country, but it's good for us, too, as individuals. Is there anything more satisfying than creating, right? So
right.
What do you think about the creative aspect of careers now? You can talk about your personal input, too.
Right. Well, I think you're absolutely right there. I mean, it's more abundant now than ever before, doing your own thing, hanging out your own shingle. And maybe the current state of the economy or just where we've come professionally, whatever, has encouraged that, which I think is great. Back in the 50s, our parents could trust corporate America, kind of, give them a home and take care of them, and that's not the case anymore. And so people are turning to doing their own thing and becoming entrepreneurs. And in a general sense, but therefore, I don't know if it's very satisfying. I would think is the aspect that they are creating their own entity and becoming their own people that way. Where I come from, that's kind of always been the case. I mean, even in Hollywood, it's very much a freelance world where you get pulled into Batman or you get pulled into, Star Trek or something, and you're on the job anywhere from, 3 weeks to a year, depending on the length of the job, and you're out looking for the next job. And so it's how do you keep, you establish yourself, then keep yourself current, reestablish yourself, reinvent yourself in the sense that as trends happen, Certainly, you know, digital is such a big part now, and I've actually played in the digital world a little bit. It does not satisfy me artistically, and so I've decided to keep doing what I do. But I work very closely with a lot of great digital artists because I think it's a fantastic medium, and it's necessary, and I do love what it does. So as a visual effects supervisor, you know, I'll bring models and miniatures into where I think they're best, you know, suited, and then bring in the digital where they're best suited. So I think if you're not, you know, thinking on your toes and able to adapt to what's currently being used or available, you know, you're going to maybe get yourself into a little bit of trouble. But certainly there's a big place out there for people to do their own thing, and I think that's fantastic that so many people are choosing to do that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you lived in Hollywood, and you still come out here for projects and things, and living here myself, it's kind of an entrepreneur's mindset out here, you know, where you got projects going on. I think, but maybe other areas of the country or other places, it's not as accepted, but it's really becoming, you know, part of the everyday work world. I even tell my clients or my students or whoever I'm coaching or speaking to, you know, you've got to, even if you're working for somebody, you still have to think of yourself as an entrepreneur because you're maybe getting a 1099 or a paycheck, you know, from somebody. Yeah. But the way things are now, you know, companies downsizing, people looking for more contract, part-time work. So it's almost like you can't avoid it, I think.
Right, right. You can't rely on any sort of stability, really. So you do have to always kind of be on your toes, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of a nerve-wracking but exciting at the same time. And, you know, you build up an understanding of how it all works, and networking is huge, as you know, right?
Exactly.
Talking to people, and that's why I know you. I just use you for all your connections. Not interested in your friendship, of course. You know, hey, I'm Hollywood. Come on. But
what can I get out of this? Yeah.
Yeah. What can I get out of this? But seriously, I think we have a caller.
Yeah.
We have a caller in the queue. Just a second. We have a caller on the queue. We'll bring him in a few minutes, or in a moment here, I should say. Okay. Caller, are you there?
I'm there. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can.
I am such an Iron Man freakish fan, and I'm so excited because a young friend of mine, who's like one of my best friends in the world, is a student studying digital animation, and she begged me to call in for her for the mask.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. I'm just over the top thrilled that we won.
Cool. I'm very happy for you. That's fantastic.
I have such appreciation for what you do. You have no idea. I mean, I actually got my BA in visual arts and studied film, Clark, and, you know, that was my big dream. And Allison is, you know, she's working on it, and I'm just so, so excited for her that she could win. The only thing I need to do is get, whenever it works for you guys, get an email address for Clark so I can send him Allison's address.
Yes.
Yeah, you send it to info@authenticumedia.com.
Okay.
Did you get that?
I got info@authenticumedia.com.
Yeah, authenticumedia.com.
Media.com. Oh, awesome. Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm such a fan of the show, and I love what you guys are talking about today. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling in, and Clark will
really,
we'll
really
send
excited.
That out
Thanks
shortly.
So much. Thanks so much. Have a great day, you guys.
Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. Take care.
Bye
bye.
Bye bye.
Hey, well, there you go. You got about seven minutes left. So I want to get back to a little bit to the creativity aspect of the call, and kind of help our listeners, you know, understand what really needs to be done. You know, as far as education is concerned, like I said before, you know, the government mandated education, primary, secondary, K-12 education. You know. People are getting science and math, but most people are not going to be using anything beyond arithmetic. They're not really learning how to be creative. They're not, you know, it's pretty much just teachers giving the information, mostly giving information to test, you know, standardized tests,
right,
which really inhibit, talk about inhibiting teachers' creativity, you know. And
right.
And that's one thing I really demand in my classrooms or from a college or university I work at is being as, you know, as much free rein as possible to create my curriculum and my classes and teaching. And so I think, you know, if we can talk about that, how critical it is, you know, especially in education systems where people, you know, students, I think one of the things they really need to be taught or allowed to do is to work on their creativity, their own way of, you know, their own way of thinking, problem solving, creating solutions and all that. So what do you think about
yeah,
that aspect of creativity?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I have to admit here that I did not go into college for my field. There was never a class or a degree offered in, you know, visual effects. It's and in the work we do, that's not even expected. They want to look at your portfolio, look at your work, and see your skill set. And then, and this is the old traditional way to do it. I'll switch gears in a second and tell you the new way things are done. But anyway, we're talking 20 years ago now. And so, you know, look at your portfolio first. And then once, if you've established that you can do the job, then your personality and your knowledge, you know, and how well do you play with others, you know, your actually reputation as an individual to work with in the industry plays a big part. So if you are really good at what you do, if you know your craft, and then you know, are a blast to work with, you're going to have abundant work. And that's the neat thing there. When people walk into my studio and want work, I want to see their portfolio initially. Like, show me what you can do, and let me talk to you a little bit, and let me pick your brain and see where you are. Do you really think the way we need to think? And you can kind of pick that out of a person just almost immediately when you talk about their thought process behind their artwork and what they do there. Now, currently, with with digital being the rage and such a bigger market, obviously, there's far more opportunities for digital artists. But because of that, it's kind of this catch-22. I don't want a saturated market, but there's so many people for the available positions. But now there are so many universities that do offer fantastic degrees in education in the digital arts, focusing on animation, special effects, graphic arts, anything like that. But quite often there's such a flood of new, fresh blood coming out of the universities every year that are eager to work and willing to work for lower rates that they often get, you know, put into the system working, where a lot of people that are starting to ask for larger, more substantial, income might, get put aside. And so there's kind of this, at different times, the saturation there, which is another problem to itself. But still, I think in the digital world, you're really going to probably try to pursue that degree. And like you said, the networking is so important. And if nothing else, besides learning the latest programs and how the system works, the film system, you know, making artwork for film, you're also going to meet a lot of people and start your networking during your college years that will ultimately help you in your career.
I think that's huge. There's a couple points that you hit on that I want to go back to, networking. And networking is really starting to grease the wheel. And I always tell my students, I don't care what they're doing, you know, if they want to be a DJ or if they want to be an accountant or if they want to be an actor or if they want to be whatever. Whatever you want to do, don't just go to school. You know, that's kind of the theory. And theory is nice, but that practical, you know, hands-on application is really where your learning begins. And then grease the wheel and get into the environment. I don't care if you're dumping waste baskets in whatever area of work that you want to get in. Just get in there, start talking to people, feel it, see what it's like.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like I said, this kind of very intensely popular market now. If you're
right.
in a classroom of 30 to plus, you know, students, what are you going to do in that classroom to shine? You know, I mean, you need to make yourself known. I mean, you can't still get your A, but be the quiet guy in the back corner that doesn't get any attention. You're going to have to, you know, think outside the box, be creative. Like, how are my projects going to be this much different from everybody else's? How am I going to do something to impress my instructor, to make my peers, you know, want to hang around me, things like that? Because that's how you're going to start establishing yourself right there. And out of, you know, X amount of people, if only a few people get those cherry jobs, you need to make sure you're one of those people.
And creativity is huge, even in kind of more standardized jobs. There's a story of this one woman who wanted to get a job in sales at Crest, you know, the toothpaste company. And they said, sorry, there's no job opening. So she got creative. She didn't take no for an answer. And I think that's another thing we got to look at is, even though you get a no, that doesn't necessarily mean stop trying or even stop trying along the path that you're going on. And what she did was she said, well, I'm going to do something. She took her resume, put it on a T-shirt, put the T-shirt into a Crest box, and sent it to the sales department, specifically to the person who was going to hire, and they created a job for her. So that's the type of innovative type of thinking that you need, even on a small little thing like that. And I tell you know, my students or clients, you know, if you're going to write a resume or cover letter, don't just do a standardized thing. Do something interesting. Put your personality in there. Put your thought and guts into it, you know.
Right. Well, you mentioned the resume. Like, as a freelance, you know, artist myself, I don't get a job. I mean, I'm interviewing constantly. Maybe once, twice a week I'll meet with people, have to sell my skills, my you know, what I offer, convince them that I'm the person they want to do their job, and then get the job. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, salesmanship going on there. And it's a necessary thing because that's how jobs are obtained. But you gotta figure out, like you said. I guess I rule of thumb is I try to, if a person's really gonna say no because for whatever reason, you know, it's whatever the reason might be, I still try to get them to say no three or four times before I take it as, okay, this is where it is. If they say no initially, I'll restate my approach. I'll try to address concerns they might have. But that's a little game I play with myself, because just saying, well, I don't think so or not right now, then, you know, without being annoying, that's the other thing. You gotta come in there and play it. You're certainly understanding, but I really want to understand why they don't want to come and what the situation is. And that's something, like you're saying, you don't take no for an answer, because and half those times, you know, there's little issues that are quickly figured out and the job does materialize. So I think you're very right there. In any field you're in, you have to be optimistic, be persistent, and really be able to represent yourself.
And the real, you know, you're talking about like real world skills. It's not just learning from the book like Einstein. You're talking about intuition and gut instinct. You know, Donald Trump talked about that. When Einstein said, you know, intuition is everything. So, and that's one thing that even my friend of mine who's a lawyer who went to school, he said, 90% of what I've learned is on the job. So that's why I say, you know, school is good, but don't put off 4 years of just going into a theoretical vacuum. You know, stay out there, man. Keep working it. Because I was a kid that, you know, I went to college and kind of flubbed around and didn't go back until I was in my 30s.
Right.
For, you know, and then I was motivated. But, you know, trying to get a business going, there's a lot of creativity that you have to use in order to get, you know, the word out there. There's one guy who was a lawyer. I think he owned a law office, and he said, how can I get my message out there? So he put an advertisement on urinal cakes. He put his advertisement on urinal cakes and put them. It asked, is okay if I put up these in the men's room, you know, various places. And crazy as it may sound, it worked for him.
Well, he's got a captive audience. that's right.
Well, hey, unfortunately, our time is up. We're even a few minutes over, but we got to do this again.
Fantastic. I'd love to come back. I had a great time. Plenty of things to talk about. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, maybe next time we can give away Battlestar Galactica ship or something. I don't know. Maybe give away a Wookiee or something.
I was going to say, I have to get busy and make some goodies.
Yeah, you got to get busy, start manufacturing some giveaways. All right, Clark. Well, it was great having you on. Appreciate it. Always great talking to you.
All right. Thank you. And
catching up
we'll catch
you
next time. All right.
All right, Clark. Take care. All right, I want to thank everybody for coming in on the call. I want to especially thank Clark Schaefer, for coming on and being a gracious guest. We'll have another show in a couple of weeks. I'll let you know specifically what's going on. I've got a lot of good things lined up. I've got Elaine Trebek-Karras coming on in June, in a month or so, and several other guests. I'm going to be having a couple of guests on in tandem. We'll be talking about particular topics and subject matter in regards to career, life, and other aspects of human existence. So thanks for listening, and see you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.